The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
People have an encounter with God when they watch this movie. He really is a father to the fatherless. He is there for us when our broken fathers are not, and He loves us with an everlasting love. So we're excited about being able to feature that cinematically.
One of the filmmaking Kendrick brothers joins us now on First Person. We'll talk with Stephen Kendrick about the new documentary, Show Me the Father. Welcome, I'm Wayne Shepherd, and you'll hear my conversation with Stephen in just a moment. With the start of September, we start a new season of interviews here each week. In the weeks to come, you'll hear a variety of people all talking about their faith in Jesus Christ and their desire to serve Him with their life. Some of the names you'll recognize, some you may not, but all will be stories of how God has proven faithful through their experience. You'll find the schedule of our upcoming interviews at firstpersoninterview.com. And special thanks to the Far East Broadcasting Company for their unwavering support of First Person, making these interviews possible. Known for their highly successful movies such as Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Courageous, and War Room, the Kendrick brothers are releasing their first documentary on the topic of the fatherhood of God. I watched it just before talking online with Stephen Kendrick and told him how powerfully it spoke to my own heart.
Wow. I'm honored that you would watch it, Wayne, and we're so excited about this movie. It was birthed in prayer. God sent the stories and the team to produce it during a COVID year, and the way it has cut together, we're so grateful because we point to the perfect fatherhood of God, and it does something to your heart when you start talking about people's fatherhood stories.
Yeah. Well, it's a documentary, which is a different film genre for you, but talk about that for a moment.
Well, I love good documentaries. I don't like boring talking heads and just a bunch of stats, but we wanted this to be cinematic. We wanted it to feel like a film, feel like a movie. And so we're following five different true stories, and they interweave with one another, and they interweave with truths of Scripture. But basically, there's so many powerful principles in Scripture about the fatherhood of God and the roles of fathers, and we're able to illustrate so many of them in this film. You know, the Bible talks about God wants to turn the hearts of fathers back to their children and children to their fathers, and we show a true story. God is a father to the fatherless. God adopts us into His family. He loves us through Christ. Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. You know, all of these truths are interwoven into these true stories. And so we weren't planning on doing a documentary next after Overcomer. We were just kind of praying. And the Lord, you know, always surprises us on this faith journey that we're on. And He's like, you need to make a documentary about fatherhood.
Yeah.
So then He sends us this award-winning film director, Rick Altizer. He sends us a producer from who'd been doing media work in India. He grew up in America, but loves Jesus. He comes in and with masks on, we're flying across the nation and in a COVID year filming some incredible interviews. And the stories God gave us, I'm just so grateful.
Yeah.
My daughter's adoption story gets to be a part of it too. But
We'll talk about that in a moment. And I wish I could say more, but the film is about to be released as we speak. We're here in early September right now. Release date is September 10 is the plan. So Everybody will know what I'm talking about in a few days. But there's a moment, a turning point in this documentary that really just, I mean, I was my mouth was agape. I mean, I was shocked. And it's wonderful. It really tells the story so well. I was going to ask you about the inspiration for this, but you pretty much tell it in the story. It's your own father, isn't it?
Yes, our dad grew up with an alcoholic father, and he dealt with all kinds of insecurities and fears because of it, depression. But he came to know the Lord, and he wanted to pass on a new legacy to us and started learning about blessing his children and those things. So we show our father's blessing of us because we've seen that blessing be fulfilled, that God blesses those, you know, in Christ, Scripture says that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And so we wanted to show the heart of God's blessing using that story. But it is very special to us because our father had a deep impact on our lives.
Yeah, when you say our, you mean you and your two brothers, the three of you, served as executive producers of this. And I know you and Alex are on camera. Shannon is there in photos, right?
Yes. Shannon was going to come in and be interviewed that day. And he called me and he said, I got too much going on. I don't really want to be on camera. You got to take it and run with it. But Shannon is a behind the scenes, brilliant, logistical guy. But our dad blessed him at his wedding too. And so we wanted to include some of those still shots at the wedding and a little bit of that story about Deuteronomy 28 as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, how did you, I mean, you mentioned the scripture and all that it says about God as our father, and you pull that together so well in this film. How did you choose the stories to be told? I mean, I'm sure you had others that you could have included.
Sure. We had dozens of stories. We did so many interviews that were not featured in Show Me the Father. The ones that rose to the top of the list, there was this sense of, in the context of prayer, that these are the ones that are going to illustrate best the truths that we need to communicate. And so Sherman Smith, his own father was his hero, the mentorship relationship he had with NFL players. His story is totally amazing. Jim Daly's story of growing up without a dad. People don't realize how epic and emotional that story is.
Right. It's, and they'll know Jim from Focus on the Family, of course. So
yes. But him coming back and talking about God stepping in and being a father to him is so powerful at the end. Yeah. I love that we've got black and white stories of both good and bad dads. This movie doesn't beat up dads. You're not going to sit in the theater and just feel, beat up as a father. You're going to be inspired, challenged, given examples to consider and pray over, and challenged in your own relationship with God.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I felt that as well. I have a friend who says when it comes to Mother's Day, we all celebrate moms and their impact in our lives. When it comes to Father's Day, we kind of lay out a challenge for fathers, kind of put them on the spot. But you don't do that here, do you?
Not at all. It is I think healing is something that we're hoping will really take place because so many people have a father wound and they get tearful when they talk about their dads because he wasn't there for them. And they longed for that love and affirmation and blessing. And but God can step in and be that perfect father that we all need.
Right. I know you've been showing Show Me the Father around the country in previews. What kind of reaction are you getting from audiences?
It's so exciting because those surprise moments when you hear audible gasps in the room.
you would have heard mine too.
There have been obviously tears, at some really heartfelt moments that are in there. It is an emotional roller coaster. I laugh out loud in this. I get choked up every time I watch it. I feel inspired at the end by the fatherhood of God. But there have been standing ovations. There have been it's hitting everybody differently. And there's two reactions. There's an immediate, oh my goodness, what have I just experienced reaction? Mm-hmm. And then there's the 2 days later, 2 weeks later, where people are contacting us saying, I cannot get this off my mind. I've already contacted my dad to reconcile, or I went home and embraced my kids and prayed a prayer of blessing over them. Or two people have come to Christ that we know about already from pre-screenings. And so it hits everybody differently, but the issue of fatherhood is tied to our hearts. And whether you had a great dad or no dad, it is connected to your heart. And so using the window and the lens of fatherhood, we're able to communicate the gospel and a whole lot about the grace and the mercy of God.
As I said, the release date is planned for September 10. How are our listeners going to be able to see this?
It is in theaters all across the U.S. We're so grateful for Sony's support of this film. They jumped on early on and said, we're going to release this along with Courageous Legacy.
Did that surprise you?
It did, because we'd never made a documentary before. Documentaries are usually not as well attended. But they said, we believe in this. We know this is important to you, and we think this has a lot of potential. But we didn't have the stories at that point. We didn't know who we were going to film, who we were going to feature. I had no idea that my daughter's adoption story was going to end up being a part of the film and talking about God's adoption of us in Christ and those kind of things. But we had their support, but now we're talking about international release. We're talking about other languages because this is a universal issue The one common denominator of people who are in prison is fatherlessness. The one driving force behind trafficking is fatherlessness. Teenage dropouts, drug addiction, depression, so many issues flow out of fatherlessness. And you see it in the culture. The stats are clearly there, but the culture doesn't know what to do about it, other than build bigger prisons and, you know, tell dads to suck it up and, you know, set up mentorship programs.
Sure.
In Christ, though, we have the theology and the design of fatherhood, and we have God's fatherhood in our life and the healing that he can bring through Christ. So we take it to a whole nother level through Show Me the Father than what you're going to see in a secular documentary.
Yeah, and it teaches those precepts from God's word so well. A big part of that is through Dr. Tony Evans and his participation. And I know how much we all love Tony, huh?
He is not only theologically so deep and solid. I love his word pictures. I love his enthusiasm. He's very passionate about fatherhood, and he is a patriarch in his own home with a proven track record with four godly children that are world changers. And then his grandchildren are epic already and stepping up. And so he was the perfect fit to step into this role and was so gracious to allow us to interview him. Yeah. I love what he shares throughout the documentary.
Yeah. I thought back to being on the set when you filmed War Room with Priscilla, of course, and Tony visiting the set the day I was there. And I just wonder, thinking back, did he know that someday he would himself be a part of one of these Kendrick films? So
absolutely. I'm sure he did not, because we didn't even know we were going to be making it, but they have been so gracious. Priscilla called us last night. She just watched it for the first time.
Oh.
And she was so deeply moved. And she's like, I want to tell everybody, you know, about this film. So we are praying that people have a genuine encounter with the Holy Spirit when they're watching this movie, and that they will look back and say, God became my father after I saw this film. You know, he really is a father to the fatherless. He is there for us when our broken fathers are not. And he loves us with an everlasting love. So we're excited about being able to feature that cinematically.
We're talking with Stephen Kendrick about the new documentary, Show Me the Father. There's more coming up in a moment on First Person.
Hi, I'm Ed Cannon, the president of the Far East Broadcasting Company, and I'd like to invite you to join us on our podcast, Until All Have Heard, where Wayne Shepherd and I will take you on a virtual tour around Christian ministry in the most unreached places in the world to see what God is doing through the ministry of the Far East Broadcasting Company.
So listen to the new weekly podcast, Until All Have Heard, from FEBC. Listen at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcast platforms, or go to febc.org.
My guest is Stephen Kendrick, who is part of the Kendrick Brothers, who make such great films. Of course, Stephen and Alex and Shannon, the brothers, have been executive producers of the new documentary, Show Me the Father, which premieres September 10th around the country. Also, and we may need to mention this, there's a new version of Courageous coming out. Tell me what this is all about, and then we'll talk more about Show Me the Father.
It's our 10-year anniversary of the movie Courageous. We have recut the film, recolored it, added in deleted scenes, bonus scenes, and shot a new ending, and even featured a story about the impact that the previous film has had around the world. We've got a new generation of young men that have become fathers, millions of them. Yes. Across the nation in the last 10 years, and this issue is just as relevant. So we thought, what if we went back and re-released Courageous in theaters, an updated version for a new generation? So Courageous Legacy is coming out on October 15th, 5 weeks after Show Me the Father, in theaters across the U.S., and we're hoping it'll be an instrument to relaunch men's ministries after COVID, and that a new generation will be able to experience this film.
All right, we will watch for that coming up this fall. Courageous Legacy from Affirm Films. All right, let's continue talking about this documentary, Show Me the Father. Your own family is featured in this, and you said you didn't expect that to happen, but how did that come about? And then let's talk about the story itself.
Well, as we were working on different stories that should be featured, we thought, you know, our own dad, a representation of him has been in every one of our films. You know, he was walking with a cane with multiple sclerosis when we shot Flywheel. So mm-hmm. We had a father figure walk in with a cane and pray a prayer blessing over his son in Flywheel. Our dad was in a wheelchair And his name is Larry, when we shot Facing the Giants. So we created the character of Larry Childers lifting his arms and pulling himself up out of that wheelchair and facing the Giants, representing what our father would have done for us in that situation. There's the mentorship element of fatherhood with Kirk Cameron's character in Fireproof. And then our own father's resolution was what transformed our family as well, when he said, you know, I'm going to forgive my dad, as for me and my house will serve the Lord. And so Courageous features, you know, a version of that resolution with all of these men. So our own dad has had such a deep impact on our lives, and the battles that he has been in with multiple sclerosis, forgiving his own dad, dealing with identity, and then how God has really stepped in and brought him out of depression. I mean, he just wanted to die. Mm-hmm. He was in the pits of depression, and the Lord has been so merciful and kind, but he's been a hero for us and an inspiration, and given us a great desire to bless and love our kids like he did for us.
Wow. How's he doing now?
He's doing good. I mean, he's in a hospital bed, and if you've seen Overcomer, you see the dad laying in the hospital bed praying for his daughter. And we featured him in a sense through that character in Overcomer. I spent some time with him last night. He's full of joy. He's listened to the scriptures. He's praying for us. He doesn't complain. You know, he can't even lift a knife or a fork with his hands anymore, or sign a check. But he is still a force and a river of blessing and prayer and encouragement and counsel and discernment, even at 79 years of age.
And how does that impact his grandchildren?
Well, they see an overcomer, even in the midst of human suffering. I think that it means a lot to them. I believe that that he's still blessing, encouraging, loving on them. And they're seeing the big picture journey, because they can watch, even in Show Me the Father, these early pictures of him as a child and his 7 foot tall father that was alcoholic, had the duck to go up underneath doors. You know, I used to hug his knees when I was a kid. And, but how God transformed his life through the gospel. And so our own kids deeply love their Papa K. And I'm just so grateful that he's still alive during this season of their lives.
Yeah. And even beyond your own dad in this documentary, you and your wife are in this for a very courageous thing that you did. Tell me about this.
Well, in 2011, when we were flying to New York to approve the final print of the movie Courageous, the Lord spoke to me on an airplane about adoption. And I was not expecting that. We already had 4 biological kids at home. But my wife had been praying for me for about 2 years that God would turn my heart towards adoption. And so that whole journey over the next 2 years of faith, of adopting a little girl in our home, was incredible. It was transformational for us and our whole family. I supported adoption in theory, you know, for families that couldn't have kids or the Lord led them to do it. But we were, you know, happy and doing well as a family. And but the Lord kept communicating, you know, I want you to do this. I'm in this. And so he taught us so much about the heart of God, because Ephesians 1 says, when you believe the gospel, God adopts you into his family. He becomes your perfect father, and he loves you with an everlasting love, and he blesses you with every spiritual blessing. And you're a joint heir with Christ now, and you have a home in heaven and access to his throne in prayer. You know, all of these things are a package deal that comes with our spiritual adoption. And us going through that journey with Mia opened my eyes more to that spiritual adoption of God, you know, that happens to every believer. You know, every believer in Jesus is spiritually adopted, you know, by God, and he becomes the perfect father, you know, for you.
Mia's a little girl you adopted from China, and I know it was your wife's heart's desire to adopt before you got there.
Yeah.
So I was both impressed with your patience and her patience in walking through that situation and coming to grips with God's call in your life. But I was also impressed that God had patience to deal with you, to wait for you to be ready, you know, so to speak, right?
I think wives oftentimes are ready sooner than their husbands to jump into something and do things. But I turned down 4 referrals in a row. That was not my plan. these beautiful orphans, in a sense, being sent to my email box saying, are you ready to adopt this little girl? And, you know, when they fit what you have said, you were looking for, mm-hmm. praying for,
yeah.
but the Lord won't let you do it. It was this sense of heavy lack of peace. Something's not right. And it was our fifth referral that was Mia. And she had a worse medical condition than some of the others, but there was this total peace. You know, Colossians 3 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and guide you in situations. And so we had this total peace that the Lord was in this,
yeah.
adopting her. And she was born on Valentine's Day, 2011. And my wife said she's born on Valentine's Day with a broken heart.
Oh.
That was just,
yeah.
that meant a lot to us.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, international things have changed in the meantime. These international adoptions are not the thing that are possible in many cases anymore. But talk about going to China and picking yep. up this little girl for the first time.
We flew, it was 2013 at the time when we flew to China, and we were so excited about seeing her. But when we rounded the corner in the orphanage and saw Mia for the first time, God gave us a love for her and a compassion for her and her condition. At the same time, watching her just panic, afraid, freaking out because she doesn't know who we are. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know why we're there. We smell differently. We don't speak her language. You know, we're eating different foods. And then we're loading her up on an airplane to fly her back to the U.S. And everything inside of her, I'm sure, was in a panic, feeling like she's being, you know, abandoned in a sense, but even though she wasn't, she was being rescued. And, but to see also that God chooses us and we don't deserve it, we haven't earned it, that when a person gives their lives to Christ and God adopts us into his family, he steps in as provider, protector, all of those things. But just that emotional journey of coming back from China thinking, if she only knew who she was and how much she's loved and how good this is going to be for her, she would not be afraid. And I thought, how many believers in America are functional orphans? They know Jesus, but they live in fear. They're worried about everything. They don't think God's going to rescue them out of the situation they're in or provide for them in the next moment. They're panicking in the storm in the boat saying, do you even care about me? You know, and God is looking down saying, if you only knew how much I love you, what my plans are for you.
Yeah. How would you ask us to pray as this is released and lots of different people will be watching this? So what's your prayer request?
Well, number one would be that people have an encounter with God when they watch this movie, because in a tender, loving, inspirational way, we are trying to demonstrate the truths of Scripture about the perfect heart of our Heavenly Father. And so we want people to encounter that, but most importantly, that everyone not only place their faith in Christ, but they learn to trust their perfect Heavenly Father and walk with Him, pray to Him as a loving Father.
That's Stephen Kendrick talking about the new documentary, Show Me the Father, which debuts nationwide in theaters on September 10. There's a link for more information at firstpersoninterview.com, along with a link to the upcoming re-release of the Legacy Edition of the film Courageous, which comes out October 15. Go to firstpersoninterview.com. These programs are made possible by the Far East Broadcasting Company, who celebrates the stories of God at work all over the world. FEBC's ministry reaches millions with the gospel through innovative programs on the radio and internet in at least 50 countries of the world, many times countries that are hard to reach under normal circumstances. Learn more at febc.org. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. I invite you to join us next week for First Person.